Hello, Irish fans. You're listening to Dome and Domer, an online conversation about Notre Dame sports from a fan's perspective. Mike Coffey's joining tonight. Ed is off. And Coffey, let's just kick it right off. at what point in the game, because, you know, you actually did predict, I hate to remind this of you, you were projecting a loss.
Oh, I thought we were going to get smoked.
Yeah. And, you know, not that that was a bad projection, because you're just going on the last 30 years of what's been going on with Notre Dame football. But at what point did you say, well, we got a shot at winning this football game?
Honestly, it was when we went up 10-0, and we should have been up 14-0 outside of a false start. But the ease at which the offense was moving the ball, I found to be amazing. I thought it really reflected. The offensive line played well. Kyren Williams' blitz pickup that made the game. If Kyren Williams
he's been doing that all season too.
True, but he was doing it against, shall we say, lower caliber defenses. The fact that not only was he able to do it against Clemson, but do it well. I don't want to say that as the thing that completely shouldn't have been unexpected, but I was reassured by the fact that not only he was picking the blitz up, he could see where they were coming from, get himself in position to actually make the stop, and all Ian Book needed was those extra couple of seconds, and you've got more guys out in the pattern than you have defenders, and it's just finding the open man, which Ian Book definitely did.
Yeah, I was fired up for the game, but you know, I like any Notre Dame fan, you're kind of anxious because you just want to stay close, right? I think it's fair to say that if we were to poll the entire Notre Dame crowd fan base, probably 75% were like, please just let this be close. You know, let's just have a close game to give us a shot at the ACC championship. And all of a sudden, there's light. Like you said, we go up 10 points. Even at halftime, it's 23-13, right? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, there's all that going on. But then all of a sudden, Book fumbles it into the end zone, and you're like, all right, game over. Like, well, crap.
Clemson has played so many good second halves this year. That's when I truly started getting nervous. When they came back to tie the game, I thought, oh man, this is going to get, I mean, they've come out of the locker room focused. They're really ready to put it to us. And are we going to be able to answer back? And until that last 2-minute drive, when they just inexplicably just completely put it together. I mean, I read a stat that Notre Dame scored a touchdown in the first like minute, and then they didn't score another one until the last minute. And yet they still won the game. And that's what amazes me more than anything, is that they were able to keep their composure and keep their focus. And even though Clemson punched back on them, they were able to take that punch and then deliver another one, which past Notre Dame teams really have not done. So I think that's probably the biggest improvement I saw in this game versus all the other ones we've seen against top five teams the last few years.
Yeah. And you know, it was really cool. I don't know if you got a chance to watch this, but, Brian Kelly in the press conference, that was one of the best answers I've ever heard a head coach give when he asked, how did you guys do this? And it was really cool to hear him just talk the entire time about the resolve of this football team and how they just absolutely refused to lose, and pointed to specific instances where that was the case. And it was true. I you know, give a lot of credit to them. But Notre Dame, the effort that they gave, I mean, this is a game that a lot of people are going to remember for a long, long time for a lot of reasons because of 2020. But, you know, 50 years from now, kids are going to be like, hey, what was the stadium empty there for? What was that all about?
Well, I am glad that the current students and really – everybody, it's you said, it's been a long time since Notre Dame's really had a win like this. I mean, yeah, I remember Oklahoma and Stanford from 2012, but this,
let's be honest.
Exactly. So, I mean, for people like us, we were out of Notre Dame by the time that game happened, and we watched games during our tenure there that had that kind of electricity and that energy. We saw a lot of wins like that. So yep. I like the fact that not only the current students, but also the younger generation of fans can get an appreciation for, hey, you know, this is what it was like all the time back then. I mean, I remember beating Miami, beating Penn State, beating Michigan, all those really high ranked teams. And for them to have this experience, to get an appreciation of what true championship Notre Dame football is. I mean, that's got to be gratifying for them. I know it was gratifying for me.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, it's kind of funny because I have a couple of buddies of mine from when I was at Notre Dame. In fact, one of them, you probably, if you've never met him, you know who he is. But Pat Walshy, who mm-hmm. was in yeah. that 30 for 30 episode.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he's got a kid that's there now, and his first comment he made was, hey, my kid got to experience something unbelievable that, you know, go all the way back to us, and nobody has experienced that in between. So you're talking 30 years, right?
Oh, definitely.
And so almost 30 years. But so just let's talk about a couple things. I mean, we talked about this, about keys to the game. Mayer had to have like 6 receptions, right? We said that before the game. He had 5. Truth of the matter is he should have had 6. I mean, he dropped that one, one that you just referenced.
True.
Before the false start. I mean, Mayer probably should have had that one. So,
well,
anyway,
you know, he's a freshman playing in probably one of the most important games of his life.
Yeah,
he'll
right.
he'll hopefully have a couple more of those, and he'll be more experienced and better for the experience that he had.
Yeah. But the, you know, we talked about these standout young players needing to step up and have a big game, and they did. Mayer delivered. Kyren Williams, you know, I you're going to have to go back and look at this. I'm sure you did. But that run, the move that he made and his ability to continue with his acceleration, there's not a lot of guys that can do that. And I didn't, to be honest with you, I didn't even know he had that in him. You know, I always thought that he's got great vision, great instincts, great ability to read. I mean, that touchdown was just evident exactly of that. But his ability to juke that guy in the open field and then separate himself, there was nobody that was catching up to him.
Nope, not
I mean,
at all.
There was nobody that closed the gap. And that was something you just don't normally see a Notre Dame guy doing, right? And so,
no.
You know, that right there was kind of where I thought, wow, man, we got a shot at this.
No, absolutely. And I think Kyren, now granted, he's only a sophomore, but I think Kyren Williams definitely positioned himself on whatever draft board he's eventually going to be on, because he went up against a bunch of guys. A lot of Clemson players are probably going to be playing on Sundays, I would imagine.
Oh,
and not
sure.
only, as you said,
for
did
sure.
he show the ability to move the speed, but again, the blitz pickup. I mean, he just shows, he seems to be so advanced for his level of play right now. And I think another year or two in college is only going to make him better. And he's really a complete back. I mean, you'll have running backs who are fast. You'll have running backs who can find a hole but can't necessarily get through there quickly. You'll have running backs who can do great with the ball, but you ask them to do anything else, they run into a problem. With Kyren Williams, he can pick up blitzes. He can get through the hole quickly. He can make moves in the open field. And he's only a sophomore. And it's not like Kyren Williams was like a 5-star can't miss back. This is a guy
no, he
who
wasn't
has,
at all. Yeah.
No,
right.
This is a guy who has made, he's created himself. If he gets drafted, it is going to be 100% on his effort and the coaches who helped him get there, because this guy was anything from a known commodity when he arrived in South Bend.
Yeah, that's exactly right. He didn't show this in the game against Clemson, but he's shown it in some other games. But he's got good hands. He comes out of the backfield, and the NFL loves that. They love running backs that have good hands.
Absolutely.
Because, you know, look, you're not going to go in the NFL and just run by people. That isn't going to happen.
No.
And so you're going to get your yards here. You're going to get it there. Vision is a big deal, as long as you got the speed. But the ability to catch the ball out of the backfield, that is huge in the eye of scouts, and he's got it. And so, you know, great, great game for him. Book was solid, even with that fumble. I mean, I felt so bad for him because, you know, you're sitting there watching him look up at the big screen like, I can't, please let my knee be down. I can't believe this. And it wasn't. It wasn't even close. But,
yeah, it was...
but give him credit for, I mean, look, you're going up against Clemson. You get the ball with, what, a minute 48? And you got to go 91 yards? Are you kidding me? And for him to air it out to Davis like that, I mean, I was shocked. I'm sure it caught Clemson by surprise, but that was the last pass I was expecting.
Well, see, that's always been the part of his game people have said, and I shouldn't say people, I said it as well. It's always been the part of the game that seemed like he was missing, was the ability to stretch the field and put the ball out there for his receivers to get it in stride, to get yards after the catch. And sure, that's exactly the pass he threw. And
yeah,
it's good to know that it's in the toolbox. I'd really like to see it more often, but hey, when we really needed it, it was there. So
yeah, it definitely was.
He's always been a gamer. It was good to see the physical side jump up and happen as well.
Yeah. Now, last thing I'll mention is, for me, going into this game, there's always the big, huge games. If you go back from the one that we just played on Saturday all the way back to 93, it just seems like we never get a bounce that goes our way. And I don't know why, but it's just weird how that doesn't happen. But all of a sudden, we get Travis Etienne dropping that pitch right into our lap.
Yep.
And we go in for the touchdown. And that's when I thought, holy crap, the ball's bouncing our way. This is it. That was a huge, huge shift in the game, I felt, because it was
And something else. I agree with that. I think Wester Cornwell making a huge play like that, which, of course, you love to see. But part of me wonders, I mean, how long has it been since Clemson really got punched in the mouth? I think playing in a, let's face it, a pretty weak ACC, they really, the last couple of years, and I don't want to take away from as good a coach as Dabo Swinney is. He has built an amazing culture there. That's why they win.
Oh, totally.
But
yeah.
I think part of me wonders whether they just were so surprised that Notre Dame jumped. I mean, everybody was saying, I mean, including me, was saying that Notre Dame was going to lose. Some people were saying it was, you know, maybe it'll be close. And other people, again, like me, said, well, it's probably not necessarily going to be close. But all of a sudden, you're Clemson, you're down 10 to nothing. You're down 23 to 13 at halftime. And this isn't against like an also-ran. This is against a team that is recruited at just below your level for the last couple of years.
Yeah.
And you're playing in their house, crowd or no. I mean, I wonder how much, I mean, Notre Dame has been conditioned the last few years. They played games against tough teams during the season and in the postseason. Yeah, some of those games haven't turned out so well, but at least they've been there. They've gone up against Michigan. They've gone up against USC. They've played really good Stanford teams. They've been conditioned. And now all of a sudden, You have Clemson who won like 36 ACC games in a row or something like that. I mean, at some point, doesn't that start to affect you mentally a little bit, where you go off of these games and it's really hard to get yourself, you know, and then all of a sudden you get punched in the face and you spend the rest of the game stunned and trying to do what you can. Yeah. Unfortunately,
I think the physicality of Notre Dame was something they weren't expecting. And to be honest with you, Coffee, I was a little surprised by it. I mean, we're hitting hard. Look, I mean, Travis Etienne got held to 28 yards. I mean, if you would have told me that on 18 carries, I would have said impossible, not possible. 18 touches, there's no way he's going to break one. And Notre Dame just bottled him up. He could barely breathe.
Well,
now, Clemson, I know, is going to be crying here that they had three starters that were missing on D.
No.
Okay, fine. I get that. But one of them was a targeting penalty. He had no business being on the field anyway.
And he played the second half, so it's not like he missed the whole game.
Exactly. So, you know, look, that's just part of the game. I'm not going to sit here and say it didn't affect anything. It did.
And Notre Dame's missing Braden Lindsay and Kevin Austin. So
yeah, and right. And so, look, that's just all part of it. But, you know, I guess moving ahead here because we're running out of time.
Well, one thing I did want to mention real quick, because you talked about physicality, and I think the last couple of years, under Clark Lee. The defense has had that physicality. I mean, you'll see a game here and there where they just weren't playing their top selves, but most of the time you could count on the fact the last couple of years under Clark Lee that Notre Dame's defense would be physical. Now with Tom Reese as the offensive coordinator, we're starting to see that physicality on offense. The offensive line is really asserting itself against good defenses in this case and really playing a hard physical game. So at the end of the game, it's kind of like back in the Lou Holtz days where by the end of the game, you could see the opposing defense just wearing down like, oh my God, I got to get in there and get punched by these people again.
Yeah.
And it's beautiful to see that. I think it's going because that has to be Notre Dame's identity based on where we are and who we recruit. And that has to be the way we go.
Yeah, that's a good segue into the next segment, which is Boston College. And you know, I think there's something to be said for Tommy Reese. I mean, it's hard to sit here and analyze his play calling because, you know, I mean, everybody calls plays. Do guys execute? I don't know. I mean, it just comes down to that. But the truth is Notre Dame beat Clemson, and he was at the helm as the offensive coordinator. Oh, yeah. And not a lot of offensive coordinators can say that at Notre Dame over the last 30 years. Mm-hmm. I don't care what anybody says. He's doing something right.
But, and they were fluke plays. I mean, those were actually executed plays
that
ran right into the teeth of Brett Venables' defense. And Reese said, hey, come and get me.
Yeah.
And
that's right. Go. And so something's going right there. Now, big challenge against Boston College. I mean, this is going to be a tough, tough battle for Notre Dame because they got to pick themselves up and they got to survive that emotional roller coaster ride. And I, you know, look, we all think that it's pretty obvious it's going to be a tight ball game in the first half there. Notre Dame's not going to be walking into halftime up 30 points. It's not going to happen.
Well,
and so
you know, we all said that.
That's true. I guess I'm making my prediction here.
No, I think you're right. I think, well, a couple things. Number one, you have a very, very motivated Boston College team over there. I mean, their record is much better than people thought they were going to be this year. Their three losses were all, I think, one possession. And actually, they didn't lose to Clemson by much, and that was at Clemson. So I think Boston College is going to be the key is that Boston College is going to be focused. There is no way they are going to come out flat. There's no way they're going to come out scared. They are going to be sky high and ready to go from the opening whistle. The key is Notre Dame has to be just as fired up. And while I like what I've seen from the team this year, the one thing we haven't seen yet that we've seen in past seasons, unfortunately, is Notre Dame coming out distracted or not necessarily coming out as amped up as their opponent. I suppose Louisville was kind of like that, but I think playing this game on the road with so much to lose and Boston College has nothing to lose. And you got Phil Jurkovec, who definitely wants to show Notre Dame coaches and fans that Brian Kelly made a mistake letting him go. So yeah. This team is going to be amped up and sky high, and Notre Dame's got to meet that emotional edge because it could be a problem otherwise.
It's going to be a heck of a challenge. And, you know, I do, after hearing Brian Kelly give his speech and his, you can just tell he is super focused. And so I don't think he's going to let this happen to him where we're not going in there with the right kind of mindset. So I'm going to give credit to the coaching staff that I think the reason that we pull out a win against Boston College will be because of them, because they understand the situation. They know what they're up against. They're not going to allow for a letdown. They're just going to be relentless about not allowing for that and getting our guys to just deliver. I do think it's going to be a battle. I will not be shocked if we're down 10 at halftime. It won't shock me at all, but I think at the end of the game, we pull away because we have that physicality and we've got the talent to kind of separate ourselves from them. So I could see a 20-point swing. We end up winning by 10. But I am not going to be shocked at halftime if we're down 10. Won't shock me. But you're right. We could be up 20 at halftime. That wouldn't shock me either. I mean, there's some serious talent on this team.
Yep, that's true. But I think once again, I'm going to go against the grain. In our contest, I picked a 42-10 win. I think they're going to come out. Well, I think the team knows what they did last week. A lot of people have been talking about 93, where Notre Dame beat number one, and then Boston College came in motivated to win. But I think part of that was I mean, yeah, the team wasn't focused. I think part of that was you had part of that issue was defensively. I think I forget where Gary Darnell was interviewing that week, but let's just say I don't think his focus was on that game, and therefore his players' focus weren't on that game until they were too far behind and it was too late.
Yep.
As you were saying, I don't think that's going to be a problem. I know we've seen it in the past, but there's something that tells me these coaches want it as bad as the players do, and I think I think the pandemic is helping to keep people focused because there are a lot fewer distractions.
Yeah, there's less distractions. I think you're right about that.
So there's, I mean, everybody is so keeping their focus on, okay, how do I keep myself healthy? How do I prepare for this game? And I don't think they're going to let themselves get distracted because they have a huge prize sitting right in front of them. All they've got to do is reach out and grab it. And I think they're going to. Yep.
I think you're right. Yeah, I'm going to go with 34-24. I think it's going to be a little bit tighter, but I think you're right. There's definitely within the realm of possibility it could be that, because it all comes down to how focused we are and do we, you know, just execute at the highest level that we can. We could beat them 42-10. I could see that happening. I just think that because of the huge win and the just general normalcy of having a bit of a letdown to start out is going to happen to us. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see how long that lasts. Is it a quarter? Is it two quarters? You know, what is that lag period that occurs at the beginning of the game that leads into that? It should be a lot of fun.
If we win the toss and we take the ball as we almost always do, I think we're going to drive down and score, and it'll put BC on their heels and they're not going to recover. That's.
Yeah. And it could very well be that Jurkovic sees his best defense that he's seen all year.
Definitely.
That is in the realm of possibility. And that'll be interesting as well. Well, look, we're going to have a lot of fun watching it. And then sure enough, not to dismiss anybody else that we're playing, but North Carolina is going to be a big, big, big game as well.
We got a week off between now and then.
Yeah, and then
one last really quick thing. It's almost become disconcerting to me how few night games we have this year. I know we had the two ones at home, but remember the last couple of years, was it last year or the year before?
Right.
We're like every game was at like 7 o'clock Central.
Yeah, I do. And, I'll be honest with you, man. It's tough for me to last.
We're two old farts. So it's. All of these afternoon games are really coming as a surprise, because you were saying North Carolina, and they just announced that North Carolina is going to be another 3:30 start on Thanksgiving Friday. And I was like, wow, of all the games you think they would put in prime time, but I guess there's enough competition they don't need to.
Yeah, wow, that's interesting. Yep. All right, good deal. You've been listening to Dome and Domer, an online conversation about Notre Dame sports from a fan's perspective. For Mike Coffey, I'm Mike Brammer. Thanks for listening.